So is there something called the Pauline revelation? Of course, being Pauline is not saying, I'm going to see that guy, doesn't mean I'm not getting married. Amen. Just for that means to be Paul scriptures. Praise the Lord. Look at something. Ephesians 3. Verse 3. Amen. Ah, but this is so happy. Like, thank God, like, I'm finally putting myself for like, well, this is. Yeah, it's simple. I know it's important for the body of Christ. Amen.
Follow it.
Hallelujah.
Follow
it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, how that by revelation, I was just learning. Ah, Queen, welcome to. This is Queen. Everyone is not Queen.
Yeah.
Welcome back from Africa. Ephesians 3. Thanks. What do you mean for us? Happy New Year, Queen.
Same to you.
Queen doesn't know. Do you know this? Ayo?
Like.
Queen is my sister. Okay. Best friends. Anyone? Sister, best friend. Both together. You got how fine she is. If you want her phone number, I have it.
Isn't it?
No, if I have. What's it called? I have a phone number. In case you want to
follow. Persistent follow.
You know, because I'm privileged to, you know, get to hear some things about brothers and the rest in school. You know, I know some things brothers do. When the brother is calling you and he didn't check up. Everybody in the fellowship. It's not only me. I just got to check up on you, sir. But what? I won't say it like that, but yeah, Sabiti. What's your business for me?
I didn't say that.
So Ephesians 3. So we said is there a Pauline? We said is there a Pauline revelation? Ephesians 3 verse 3. It says how that a revelation. I made known to me the mysteries I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it now revealed to the Spirit. And now revealed by the Spirit to his what? Holy apostles and prophets. So Paul says that, you know, when you read, you may understand. So Paul is affirming, you know, that there's a Pauline revelation. You know, there's something that he has. But again, we are looking at it, that really so. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. So if you say you are Pauline, you are really saying you affirm Paul's message. Is that clear? So are you Pauline?
Yes.
Smile now. You can get married now. Yeah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. It says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And the reason why, okay, it says verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to saying to them, God will to make known what are the what? Riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. The what? The hope of glory. Again, the reason why I'm asking this question is because Paul has raised from Galatians 3:8. It says, God had preached the gospel to Abraham for saying that it's going to justify Gentiles, saying, in you shall all the families of the everyone. Blessed. So we need to be able to establish the fact that if we want to talk about Christology, is Paul's are Paul's epistles enough, sufficient to give us enough evidence? If not, I'm going to have to put a question mark to it. Are you guys learning something? Of course, we read the book of Romans some minutes ago, and we said the book of Romans that what Paul does is that Paul unites the Jews and the what Gentiles together. It says the same way they were circumcised, the same way God calls Abraham righteous before he was circumcised. It's the same way God justifies us by faith in Christ Jesus, not by our works. Are you guys learning something? So, I mean, it cannot be by works. That's why you're justified. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we said God even had been using people who were not circumcised. I mean, Adam wasn't. Was he? Of course not. Noah wasn't. Of course. You know why? Because obviously, you know, from Genesis 11, it traces down the genealogy of Abraham. Abraham was Terah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, it traces all of them. So, of course, all of them were not circumcised. Now, look at, where are we? Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Have you heard people say things like, I had a revelation of this text? Have you heard that before?
Yes, okay.
me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the what? The Gentiles. The Gentiles. Look at Galatians 2:2. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Verse 6. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no who? No man. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have what? Received. I mean, Paul is the person who gives us that creed. When you go and preach the gospel and says how that Christ died for our sins, how that Christ was buried, and how Christ was raised from the dead. Interestingly, it appears that when you look at the New Testament, it is very Pauline. The Gospel of Luke was written by who? Who wrote the Gospel of Luke? Who is Gospel of Luke? Who wrote the Gospel of Luke? It's Luke now. I'm not lying now, it's Luke now. Luke writes the Gospel. And now, Luke was apparently a disciple of Paul. So he writes Luke, he writes Acts. How many chapters do we have of Peter in the book of Acts? Acts 1 to Acts. Let's say Acts 10. They mention him in Acts 15. But from Acts 15 to Acts 28 is who? Paul. Look at Luke. The essence of the Gospel of Luke was also towards the Gentiles. It's the Gentiles. Of course, there's Matthew that wrote to the Jews. There was Mark, the first writer. There was Luke, who wrote also to the Gentiles. Are you guys telling something? So we have, look at, no problem. All of them are already running. They're already rapture one by one. I remember that time that time we had 3 hours. Was it both of us that was there? We had 3 hours, wrote to me, we just sat on the floor. We just took his back and said, I'm already going to my house. Wrote to me, rapture, Sam, rapture, Victor, rapture. The man of rapture. Fikayo, we showed that to anyways, what was I saying? I was saying that we have Luke, right? Acts was written by, but was written again to defend Paul. True or false? We have, how many epistles were dedicated to Paul? Think about the Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Let's put to Hebrews. Of course, you know the person that wrote the book of Hebrews must have read Paul. Of course. So we have like over 14 epistles dedicated to Paul, plus Luke 15, plus Acts 16. Out of how many books do we have in the New Testament? 27. So that means about 16 chapters, 16 books of the Bible is Pauline. Let's see somebody. Look at 2 Peter. You know what I mean, right? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter also affirms that it's Pauline. See something. 2 Peter chapter 3. Again, let's look up. The essence of the New Testament, or the main purpose why it was put together, I said that in the Menotics, was to ensure, to show us how God brings the gospel not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. That's the main purpose. Look at something. Look at 2 Peter 3. Who was the first person who preached to the Gentiles? Who can tell me? Peter asked them. Of course not Paul. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Consider that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Is what? 2 Peter 3. It was as our beloved brother what? Paul. He didn't say Apostle Paul. According to the wisdom. Such insult. According to the wisdom given to him, as written to you, even also in all his epistles, speaking in them things which are some things hard to what? Understand. Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also to the rest of the world of the epistles. So Peter says that the Pauline epistles have a soteriology, what's it called? Application to them. Remember, I was starting from our theology is what? Christology. Our Christology is what? Soteriology. So it means that if Peter affirms that Paul's letters are enough for salvation, that means Paul's letters are also Christology. True or false? Because if our study of Christ, our study of salvation, what's it study of God is a study of Christ. Our study of Christ is our study of what? Salvation. Yeah. So if our study of salvation is our study of Christ, or our study of Christ is our study of salvation, and Paul is saying, and Peter is saying that when you read Peter and Paul's books, you are wise unto salvation. It means Paul is like, I think that's what I'm saying, is like a peace, a grand peace when it comes to what? Christology. Are you learning something? So if I want to talk about salvation, how God saved the world, how God saved us, Peter says, my epistles are good though. But look at it, I only wrote two epistles. He says, Brother Paul has written sufficient peace. So when we read Romans, we see how God brings the Jews and the Gentiles together. True or false? We read Galatians, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Is that the same? Or favor? Okay, favor. He says, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Peter says that they are enough tool for salvation. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. I will end something. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We've not even said what Christology is saying this morning. It's study of Christ, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It says, but continuing the things which thou hast learnt and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast what? Learnt them. Look at verse 15. And from a child you have what? You have what? Known the what? Holy scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise. Unto. Now the word wise then means to be skillful. So he's saying the scriptures are able to make you skillful unto salvation through faith, which is in where? Christ Jesus. Are you learning something? So when we read the scriptures, Paul says they are able to make us skillful unto salvation through faith, which is in what? Christ Jesus. So Paul calls the scriptures that refer to Genesis to what?
Malachi.
Right? Paul says the scriptures are sufficient tools to learn about Christology. So when we want to talk about Christology, I'm going to mention concepts like modalism, Trinity, and all of that. And we're reading history. Paul says the person who can give us a final verdict to it is what? The scriptures. Because some people don't even know who Christ is. Say, what does Jesus mean? Amen. What does Jesus Christ mean? Say, the one who is coming back again. Is that what Jesus truly comes from and do? Say, came from and died for and said, and give me money. He not just give me money. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, say, he left the throne of grace to here to give you money. Hallelujah. I will tell you something. So Paul says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, says, which are able to make the wise. Look at verse 16. All scripture is given by what? It's given by what? Inspiration of God. He says, and it's profitable for doctrine, teaching, reproof, correction, and it says instruction in righteousness. We've seen the word instruction in righteousness before. We said it's useful for our spiritual growth. In other words, when I learn about Christology, Paul says it makes me grow what? Up spiritually. So, what differentiates my Bible from my Ant 115, from my Physics 115, from my Law 502, is that those pieces are not sufficient, they are not skillful to make me wise unto what? Salvation. That's why you are not arguing, does the Big Bang exist? Does it not exist? See, it exists in sociology because you need to pass.
Yes.
Are you learning something?
Yes, sir.
If they tell me now that Islamic law, anybody that does Islamic law get 100. Anybody that does Christian law get 50. Why would I do Christian law?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to be a lawyer of the law of Moses. I will wear my cap. I will wear my jama. Everybody always call it my jalamia. Yeah. I will wear my shoe. And I'll go for the class. I'm a Christian. But just like I'm saying that law is not skillful to make me wise unto salvation. It's the scriptures. So, when I go to class, I cannot learn about Christ. Are you learning something? So, that's what differentiates my church from my classroom. That's why I cannot both be doing the same thing. We're not competing.
Hallelujah. So what is trending now? Is kese kese. Is it kese kese or kese kese? We say kese kese. Kese 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 kese. So a Christian artist now also comes and say it's kese 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 kese. Holy 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 holy. It does change it. It looks like we are. It looks like we are competing.
But Paul is rather saying that the scriptures are able to make you wise unto what? Salvation. Again, right, that they are sufficient for soteriology, Christology. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. So no matter how much you read this Bible, if you don't open your current affairs textbook, you will not know the president of Nigeria.
Amen.
People, who's president of Nigeria?
Buhari.
Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3. He says, I ought to do when I went to Macedonia. Remain in Ephesus that I may charge some that they should know other doctrine, or give it to fables and endless genealogies, which causes dispute, rather than godly edification, which is where?
In faith.
Okay. Which is in faith. Look at verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which are in where? Christ. So what he's saying, look at verse 4, that's 5. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a what?
A righteous man.
For a what?
A righteous person.
Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So Paul says there is a skill on how to handle the Old Testament scriptures. So when I read the Old Testament scriptures, there's a way, there's how I am supposed to see it. There's how I'm supposed to view it. Hallelujah. So when I read the Old Testament, Paul says I can know about Christology. Again, what is Christology? The study of Christ through the lens of the scriptures. Genesis, but let's extend it into Revelation. We'll mention what is called the Apocrypha. I don't know if you guys have read the Apocrypha. That's where we have the book of Barnabas, Gospel of Joseph, Sons of Maccabees, To Beat. And then a friend of mine told me and said he read the book, but they're not Christocentric. If they were Christocentric, would they not have added it to the Bible? Are you guys learning something? Paul is saying that the entire 6 books of the Bible are Christocentric. Are we learning something?
Yeah. Already looking like
so. Yes. It says the entire books, it said they are Christocentric. So let's read Luke chapter 24, verse 25. And let's see if we can start something now. Amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. Here is all, let me know if I'm having fun. Luke's Gospel chapter 24, verse 25. So, the question we're starting with, did Jesus give us a Christology of the scriptures? Yes, he did. Now, we've affirmed, did Paul give us a Christology of the scriptures?
Yes.
So, true or false?
True.
Come on, true or false?
True.
Okay, so it's the Pauline Revelation Christology.
Yes.
Of course. Hallelujah. So, when you say you are Pauline, you are not saying you are not getting, it can be you are not getting married. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I shout amen.
Amen.
You are not getting, there's nothing bad. There's nothing bad in not getting married. Amen. But I'll just indulge you to please get married. So I can come for a wedding.
And
eat jollof rice. I want to fast in that day.
Yeah, I <possibly.
laughs> Hallelujah. If we serve better, I'm not eating though. I want to take my destiny away. So look at Luke 24 verse 5. He says that, and then he said unto them, O fools since I'm slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Look at verse 27. And beginning at what? At Moses. I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets, verse 27. Are we there? It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things was concerning. Are we there? It says the things concerning himself. We said the word concerning, there's the word peri in the Greek, where you have the word perimeter from, around me. So Jesus says that when you read Genesis up to Revelation, to Malachi, he says it's about me. Again, let me give you something that will start to make you start thinking. Did they have chapters and verses in their days? Of course not. They did not. The only one that really had one was the book of Psalms. So, could Jesus have been doing something like this? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that light, I'm the one. Or rather, we'll call Christology an application of our explanation of the scriptures. That is, when you explain scriptures, when it's time to apply it, we use Christology. Because of course, when you want to read the days of, we'll call Christology our application of the understanding of scriptures. Because of course, do you think Jesus would have been going to, he could, we are going to do that very soon. But we are saying Christology is rather an application. Hallelujah. Are we learning something? Look at the way we're able to read through Genesis chapter 17. And we saw that in Genesis 17, God writes about identification, right? In you. Can you guys remember? In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The same words that is used when we get to Ephesians 1. You are blessed in Christ. So we cannot be saying that. So it means that when we read Abraham, God is saying that right behind the scenes of that Abraham, God is explaining who? Christ. Do you understand, guys? Yes, sir. Amen. I think we read Moses. We said Moses is also very similar to Jesus. We said that in hermeneutics. We said that in hermatology. I think so. I know we spent a lot of time talking about that in hermatology in 2023. I know we spent a lot of time talking about that last week. We talked about Moses. We said, what is Moses? We said Moses was born, true of us. In the time Moses was born, there was also a guy, Pharaoh, who rose up and said that these guys were multiplying too much. Let's kill guys that are 3 months below. Almost the same thing that happened in the life of Jesus too. Jesus is kept away. I mean, he's gone to, they take Jesus to Egypt. Is that not the same place we're also killing people to? Are you guys learning something? It's almost the same place. He's eat for 3 months and Jesus, you know, Moses is raised up. He goes into They did their skill for Pharaoh's daughter. You know what happened in the life of Moses? That I think that God is just really compassionate, and it's the sovereignty of God. You know, by her bringing an Hebrew to the house, she's betraying her dad's trust. Yes. You saw his son; he's an Hebrew. You saw him in the water. Your dad is killing. Are you a bastard? So you saw the baby. And of course, because the writer of Hebrews had already said that the parents of Moses, they knew that he was a special child. They knew that there was something about Moses. So Pharaoh's daughter takes him. And then they raised him. They raised Moses up. But the Bible says that Moses knew that the sufferings of Christ was better than the treasure that was found in Egypt. So while Moses was growing up, there was something in him that he knew that was meant to deliver those people. It was meant to save those people. And just like we read when we started this morning, we said that just like those judges, you guys remember, those judges who realized that God's plan and purpose was to deliver the people, Moses also knew the same too. So Moses kills an evil. Moses now sees two Hebrews fighting. You guys know the story now. He wants to go and separate them. And I said, who made you a deliverer and a judge? Same words used in the book of Judges. Who made you a deliverer? Who made you a judge? Moses now runs away. True or false? He now goes into a mountain. in the mountain, he sees a bush that is burning, but it's not burnt. Abi, of course, we know that what that is. That's a vision. Abi,
yes,
of course. How you see a bush that is burning and it's not burnt? That, that's the vision. Is that a supernaturally open to soon? That's why when he went there, he saw what was happening. The first thing he did was remove his shoes. God, because he was seeing, he was hearing supernatural things. That's Acts 2 experience. But again, I'm not even looking at that now. So what happened? God now tells him and says, yeah, go back. You know what the first thing that Moses said? Moses that was raised in the same place, he calls himself a stammerer. He says he's not, doesn't have the ability to do it. At least Moses has grown so much, he has forgotten about the... I mean, he spent 40 years afterwards now. You know, he was 40, he spent 40 years before God called him. You know, he spent, so he has spent that long time. And he said, it's just business, career. I'm serious,
she family man.
How he, God calls me pastor. And now daddy tweets. No, I'm not saying daddy tweets is bad, but I'm saying you're not still that dumb daddy. You get what I'm saying? Like, if you're not, like, it looks like you're not have like five children. Yeah, so, I mean, when, and it's just one shot. You know, one shot is when we're pregnant with five at once or four. So, when my wife gives back, you just tell the church member, see, I'm not coming to church for the next 6 months. I want to raise the children. That's exactly how. So by the time 6 months is finishing, he has even forgotten how to pastor and how to teach. He's used to be carrying. So it means that we are reading Moses, but Paul is saying when you go behind Moses, God is reading a savior. God raises a man to deliver the people from bondage, from slavery. The same thing God does for us in Christ. Are you guys seeing something?
Yes.
He raises Christ, saves, raises up Christ. God comes as a man. It's just that he dies for us. He saves us from the bondage of sin. So again, how were we able to do that? Christology. Do you understand? Yes, sir. Of course, Jesus did that from Luke 24, verse 27. I think it was peace, it was Victor, who was God best? I think Xavier was there too. When we read the story of Rahab, and then the bringing down of the walls of Jericho. Jericho would never fall down now. Amen. I must make it. And then we saw the writer of Hebrews leads that and shows us how that leads to what's happened to sin. God is going to bring down the Jericho of sin down. Hallelujah. Yes. Again, we're going to look at that much later. Look at Luke 24, verse 40. What is it right now? 44. But it really happened though. The word of Jericho really came down. I hope you know.
Yeah.
You guys know, Abby?
Yes.
This was a matter of which I would have raised that. Someone said, no, and the miracles of the Old Testament are now closed because we are in the New. That's why our life is like this. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
You know, God is really powerful.
Yes.
You know, right?
Yes.
He's really very powerful. You know, there are times where I just think, it has happened to me countless times. There are times where you're just thinking about something, and then somebody just provides what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Has it happened to you before? One particular time, I was driving from my hostel. I was driving and I spent quite a number of money that day, that Sunday. I wouldn't still want to spend the amount of money I've spent this Sunday. I was just thinking about that. All right. I was still having that thought. There was a leader with me in the car. He just said that, sir, what do you want to eat? That I'm made right.
Yes.
So the one that saved me from spending money, daddy. And it's not only once. Do you understand? It's not only because I was wearing one sock that is torn.